Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Round two of the Mitt Romney-Rick Perry Massachusetts-Texas Smackdown gets underway tonight in Tampa. So pull up a chair, tighten your seatbelts, and brace yourself for the latest Republican presidential debate. It takes place in Florida, which is emerging as a key primary battleground state. Eight candidates are participating. But if the last debate is any indication, this will be another episode of the Mitt and Rick Show.
Two candidates, a former governor and a current governor, are running on their records and offering wildly divergent views on the role of government and what direction the Republican Party should take.
Texas Governor Rick Perry calls Social Security a Ponzi scheme and a monstrous lie. Mitt Romney says Social Security should be saved, not scrapped. Perry's a limited, smaller is better government guy who proudly embraces the Tea Party activist wing of the GOP. Romney says he's for smaller government, too, but ever the centrist refuses to call himself a Tea Party man.
Then there are the hot button issues, as if the Tea Party and Social Security were not, but there are even hotter ones like gun control. As governor, Romney signed an assault weapons ban. Rick Perry jokes that he's for gun control to, quote, use both hands, he says.
Romney was governor of the first state to legalize gay marriage.
Perry compares gays and lesbians to alcoholics who choose to drink.
And then there are those competing claims on jobs. Here they are dueling it out in the last Republican debate in California.
Michael Dukakis created jobs three times faster than you did, Mitt.
Well, as a matter of fact, George Bush and his predecessor created jobs at a faster rate than you did, Governor.
That's not correct.
Yeah, that is correct.
So, listeners, is that correct or not? What do you make of those competing claims? How do these two apparent Republican frontrunners compare? Who do you think represents the future of the Republican Party? And what about their records as governors? Who has it right, Romney or Perry? And can governors really take credit or blame for things like job growth or job loss? You can join the conversation, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And joining us now from Dallas is NPR correspondent Wade Goodwin, who's followed the career of Rick Perry since he succeeded George W. Bush as governor back in 2000. And Wade Goodwin, great to have you on Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Also from Tallahassee, Craig Sandler, general manager of State House News Service. He's followed the ins and outs of Massachusetts politics for years. And Craig, great to have you.
Well, it's great to be here.
So, gentlemen, before we get into truth squatting some of what's being said here on jobs and other issues, I'm interested in a sort of a general take from both of you about this. I'm struck by what a stark contrast these two candidates represent for the Republican Party. Rarely do you see two front runners at this stage who have such different policies, approaches to government, personal styles. Wade Goodwin, to you first. How's this Perry Romney contest viewed in Texas, where you are?
Well, I mean, Perry's viewed as a Republican juggernaut and someone that Mitt Romney better be careful about, or you know, he'll be looking at Rick Perry, leaving him in the dust. You know, Rick Perry is a evangelical Tea Party Republican who knows how to raise corporate campaign donations. It is almost impossible, as Michelle Bachmann is finding out, to get to the right of Rick Perry. And he has made that strategy a winner for him in Texas. The question now is, can it be a winner nationally? And judging from the most recent polls, it looks like it can be.
Craig Sandler, same question to you. What do you make of this choice that Republicans are going to soon be facing?
Well, it's a pretty classic one, isn't it, in politics? You know, the parties run to their extremes during the primaries, and they turn heads and catch attention and catch early dollars and catch early primary votes. Running on the bolder, you know, stances, but the fact is that sometimes people like Perry can wind up on an ideological island that makes them unelectable in the general, and Romney knows that very well, and he's hoping that enough Republicans say, well, job one is defeating Barack Obama, and so we want to have somebody who's right-center, not right-right. It remains to be seen whether that can work this particular year in this particular climate. But, you know, the centrists always look weakest at this stage of the arc.
Well, it's true. I mean, there's sort of a symmetry here in the contrast that these two guys represent, and it occurs to me, and it's been said by others, that at this stage of the campaign, of the race, it seems like Rick Perry has a big advantage in that the sort of right wing of the Republican Party is much more active in this stage, whereas if Romney were to make it through this stage, his sort of centrist view would probably hold sway. What do you think, Wade Goodwin, about that advantage that Rick Perry has at this point?
Well, the Republican Party made a decision after the last election that it was going to move to the right, that the reason it had not been elected was because they had not stayed true to conservative principles, and that the key to victory was to move to the right. And that's what they have done. It is, remains to be seen in a general election, but, you know, this enthusiasm from the Tea Party can be seen in Rick Perry's popularity, this belief that, you know, it takes a true conservative to beat Barack Obama is kind of what's dominating the Republican thinking out there. And, I think this is going to be a uphill battle for Mitt Romney to try to fight this current of conservative is better because conservative is truer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Craig Sandler, to what extent do you think this, as Wade refers to it, this Rick Perry juggernaut is capable of throwing Romney off of his centrist game?
Oh, I absolutely think it is, and it's already worked. I mean, to some degree, it seemed like Ron Paul made Perry grumpier and more skitterish in the last debate, really, than Romney. He was really ready for Romney, and you absolutely, when you talk to the you can't call them true blues, can you? The true reds. When you talk to the true reds, and by the way, that goes for Florida too, where I am now, because in addition to the State House News Service, I have News Service of Florida. When you talk to the true reds down here, they but it occurs to me, by the way, that red used to mean something completely different. But in any case, when you talk
how times have changed,
I should say there's definitely a column in that. In any case, when you talk to the people in the red states about where the energy is and who they believe, and there's a lot of eye rolling when you talk about Mitt Romney, and eye rolling that you probably saw more of in Massachusetts 2 years ago than you did in Florida, if you can believe that. So although he didn't do especially well here, and you could say that he went down in 2008 in Florida. My point being that absolutely, Perry seems like the more comfortable candidate, the more interesting candidate. I don't want to disparage Romney too thoroughly, because as with that right post that you just played, you know, he's got it going on, and he does have some ideas, but boy, he's got baggage and burdens that the new kid on the block just doesn't have.
Well, I want to get to some of that baggage and those burdens, but let's go back to that clip that we played at the beginning of the segment where this was at the debate in California, where there were these charges and countercharges and claims and counterclaims about job creation. Wade Goodwin, talk about Rick Perry's performance on jobs. He's in a state where there's a booming gas and oil industry. He's created a lot of jobs. He touts that claim. What's the truth behind what's there?
Well, Ann Richards created a lot of jobs. George Bush created a lot of jobs. Rick Perry created a lot of jobs. Texas is growing, and that job growth is being driven by Texas's enormous growth. So, really, we've had a booming economy with very short down periods for the last, I mean, you can pick a number. Take 10, take 20, take 30 years. It's been true. And so Texas has been growing, and that growth really fuels the job growth. How much does Rick Perry, how much credit does he get for it? I would say a very modest amount. He has a enterprise fund that he has used to try to close deals with big companies who are considering coming to Texas. They've spent $500 million doing in these deal closings. And that fund has really come under a fair amount of criticism from editorial boards throughout the state, that it's too much money, that doesn't create enough jobs, that the jobs tend to go to Perry cronies who give a lot of money back to his campaigns. And so you know, I would be, I myself, I mean, I think he is a very pro-business, and he has been helpful to Texas to establish a pro-business climate. But that climate existed before Rick Perry became governor, and it's going to exist after he's gone. So I do think he gets credit for being a very pro-business governor who wants less regulation, less environmental regulations, and less taxes on businesses. So to that extent, I think he's pro-business, maybe more than pro-job.
Mm. Right. Listeners, we're talking about the Republican frontrunners who appear to be the Republican frontrunners in the GOP primary. What do you think about Texas Governor Rick Perry compared to former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney? We've got Wade Goodwin from NPR and Craig Sandler from the State House News Service live with us right now. We're open to taking your calls at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Craig Sandler, Mitt Romney in that back and forth with Governor Perry talks about his record of creating jobs. He's boasted right. in the past that Massachusetts was losing jobs when he took office, gaining jobs when he left. This is the what you hear from him a lot. Is this true? What's his record on job creation?
All right. Well, and if we get the chance, Wade, I want to get your opinion, too, on whether Ann Richards actually might have created more jobs and wound up perceived as stronger on the economy than perhaps Bush. I mean, can Romney be firing back with the line, Ann Richards created more jobs than you did? But just speaking, and I'm really curious about that. I'm sure a lot of people
are. That's a great question. Let him answer it, and then I'll come back to your question, because I'm really intrigued by that myself.
I just don't think any of the governors get a ton of credit here. Texas has a weak governor state. I think the economy is pretty much beside the governor. So we can say more jobs were created under Ann Richards than Rick Perry. I'm not sure that that's some great celebration of Ann Richards over Rick Perry, however. I think we just have to have some distance on the you were kind of governor while this stuff was happening. Governor Bush was governor while we had the dot-com boom, and things could not have been better in Texas.
Right.
You know, one of the best periods of Texas, economic periods we've ever had in the state. How much was George Bush, you know, responsible? Really, he was more along for the ride, as is Perry, as is Ann Richards.
Let's listen to one. I want to come back to you, Craig Sandler, on the question I asked you, but let me just play a clip. Here's Rick Perry back in December of 2008 talking about the state's strength when it comes to jobs and obviously taking some credit for it. Here we go.
Texas is the number one exporting state in the nation. Texas is the leading job creator in America. Nearly 1.2 million jobs have been created in our state over the past 5 years. Over the past 12 months, nearly half of the new jobs created in America were created in Texas. Texas has more Fortune 500 companies headquartered within our border than any other state.
Now, Wade Goodwin, you know, I was looking at factcheck.com. Perry's claim that Texas created 1 million jobs over the last decade, 50% of the jobs that have been created in the U.S. That's true, according to Fact Check. But they also point out that job growth in Texas hasn't kept pace with the state's population. So the state's unemployment rate has actually risen. So that's not going to reflect too well on Rick Perry.
Well, we're right in the middle. With 8.2% unemployed, we're exactly in the middle of all states.
I see.
So, I mean, if we're talking about jobs, yeah, we've created a lot of jobs. It's not enough to keep up with our growth. We have a 8.2 unemployment rate, which, you know, is nothing to write home about. Nobody has an unemployment rate to write home about right now. I mean, some of these differences are really minuscule. We're slicing hairs here to no avail, I think. The country is in a recession, trying not to go into a double dip recession. Everyone's struggling, and you know, Texas with the fires and drought we've been having, we're going to struggle even more than we have been.
Right. Mm.
So, Craig, let's listen now to Mitt Romney. Here he is talking last June about his term as Massachusetts governor. Let's listen.
When I took office, we had a nearly $3 billion budget gap. My legislature was over 85% Democrat. The expectation was that we'd have to raise taxes, but I refused. I ordered instead a complete review of all state spending, made tough choices, and balanced the budget without raising taxes. That sent a message that business as usual was over.
So, Craig Sandler, a comment from you about Romney's overall sort of fiscal management and the claim that he makes again and again that he boasts that when that Massachusetts was losing jobs when he took office and gaining jobs right. when he left.
Right. Well, fiscal management, okay, that's one thing. Managing the economy, that's another thing. And if you listen to that clip, you'll notice that he didn't say one word about jobs. It is certainly true that he inherited a big budget problem, and it is certainly true that that the budget was in much better shape without raising taxes when he left. However, he could find himself very vulnerable because of sort of the narrative of his governorship, particularly about the economy, which is that he came in absolutely touting himself as the turnaround governor, which, of course, is a theme that you could really exploit well this year, that he was a turnaround expert, that he would, that he knew business, he knew corporations, that he knew how to turn things around, and Salt Lake City Olympics. Don't forget that. He came in as a turnaround specialist, and I can and you would be very hard-pressed to find someone in Massachusetts who will tell you that they were wowed with the way he turned Massachusetts around. I mean, again, it's dangerous to use the unemployment rate for some of the reasons that Wade referenced, but you know, the unemployment rate when he came in was 4.9%. It was 4.6% when he left, but I think that there was a palpable sense inside the State House, and I mean among people who were really interested in doing things with transportation and public education and job training, a real sense inside the State House that really nothing had happened. And a big part of the reason was that he began absent himself from Massachusetts as he began to run for governor.
Yeah, sure.
You know, around 2006. And so I think that there was a sense of letdown about his overall shepherding of the economy, that what was put on the table didn't match what he was elected to put on the
table. So it didn't quite live up to the expectations. Listeners, we're talking about, we're trying to compare and getting to some of the truth behind some of these back and forth claims between Rick Perry and Mitt Romney. If you have questions, we've got Wade Goodwin and Ray and Craig Sandler on the line. Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's take a call from Dana, who's calling from South Wellfleet. Hi, Dana.
Hi, thank you very much. I hear from people, sources like Jim Hightower, the Hightower Report, he's a Texan and a successful businessman, about the quality of jobs that Perry has so-called created, by the way, as I also understand it, with federal funding, which he supposedly is very much against, that big government. So that they're really not kind of jobs that, you know, really make for livelihood, that they're real menial, and of course they're not people aren't organized. And
I got it, Dana. So let me put that question to Wade Goodwin. What do we know, Wade, about the quality of jobs? I mean, Perry can boast about 1 million jobs over the last decade. What do we know about the quality in general of these jobs?
Well, imagine that the job market in Texas is Yankee Stadium, okay? All the upper deck, all the way around, are low-paying jobs, minimum-wage jobs. The huge part of that stadium is minimum. But all the lower section are good-paying jobs. Mm. So I think it's important to understand that, yes, we create lots of low-paying jobs. But having jobs is better than not having a job. And, you know, our hospitality, our construction industry, our agriculture industry runs on immigrant labor, and those are people who will do for minimum wage what most Texans will not do, crawl up onto a roof and hammer tiles in 110 degree heat, change 47 bed linens in a single day, pick cotton and okra and all sorts of things that is backbreaking labor. A lot of that labor is immigrant labor. A fair amount of that is illegal immigrant labor. And these industries are vital to the Texas economy, all
sure.
three of them.
Well, again, I was doing a little research, and again, going back to factcheck.com, Perry's claim that Texas created 1 million jobs, absolutely true. That Texas has created 1 million jobs over the last decade, absolutely true. They point out Texas is tied with Mississippi for the highest percentage of hourly workers paid at or below minimum wage.
Yeah, yeah, the empty seats in Yankee Stadium, don't forget, all the high-priced seats at Yankee Stadium are empty. Or that's where you see the empty seats in Yankee Stadium. So I guess
those are the unemployed.
Yeah, that's right. That's the metaphor. And, you know, do you feel like he's, you know, he's got a claim to good jobs at good wages or not?
Well, let's take a look at something else. 26% of all Texans have no health insurance. Mm. That's more than a quarter of the population. Only 48% of Texans have private health insurance.
Mm. Not true in Massachusetts.
So that's a huge difference between life in Texas and life in Massachusetts. We've been focusing a lot on jobs, but there are other elements to life than just jobs. And, you know, in Texas, it is a much the system is strained. The county hospital emergency rooms are acting as primary health care givers. You know, we kind of have universal health care in Texas, but the way we pay for it is beyond stupid. And because it's so expensive, that's why. Because things we could have nipped in the bud for not that much money are now showing up at the emergency room. Very sick people. It's going to cost tens of thousands of dollars to treat them now. And that's the way we do it here.
And yet here we have a former governor of Massachusetts who could proudly claim that he signed the universal health care law in Massachusetts. But Craig Sandler, it's a bit of his it's a bit of the albatross for Mitt Romney.
Absolutely.
In this race, isn't it?
I remember Mitt Romney using some of the same rhetoric Wade just did, talking about the expense of treating people in emergency rooms. And it is an albatross. I would certainly say that that was a hallmark of his governorship. I mean, when it at the time that it passed, it seemed like an ideal centrist achievement for a Republican. And times were, even though it wasn't that long ago, times really were different. And I don't think that there's a successful way for him to talk about it now. He tried when he got in. He tried to take it on head on and quickly stop talking about it because his explanation about his efforts was seen as ineffectual. And it's just obviously not the issue for him. It really is jobs, jobs, jobs for everybody. And on jobs, I mean, again, he's vulnerable in that certainly during his 4 years, the metric that we always used was Massachusetts was said to have lost 200,000 jobs during the recession of the early, you know, 2000s, which you could certainly lay at the feet of Al-Qaeda. I mean, it was due to factors far beyond the borders of Massachusetts. But in any case, the metric was always, can he make up those 200,000 jobs by the time his first term is over? And he didn't. I think he was short 80,000, but don't quote me.
Mm, interesting. Well,
but he didn't make it.
Wade Goodwin, if you know, Massachusetts healthcare law is Mitt Romney's albatross, what's Rick Perry's? Where's his weakness in this juggernaut that you described?
Social Security is a Ponzi scheme.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in general, I guess the weakness is the man speaks his mind and doesn't always say things that are well thought out.
I think Social Security as a Ponzi scheme is a real problem.
Yeah.
I mean, people in this country have had a relationship with Social Security, either themselves directly or through their parents or their grandparents. It's not a Ponzi scheme. A Ponzi scheme is an illegal crime. This is a government program that has been going on for, you know, 80 years. I just think that taking that approach, saying that I would, he's not said what he would do, but it's clear that the current way of doing things is not acceptable to Rick Perry. I'm not sure the majority of people agree with him. I think the majority of people would probably rather see Social Security fixed, and I think that this is his Achilles heel.
Go ahead, Craig.
Sorry,
Anthony. No, go ahead.
Look at how badly floating radical changes in Social Security worked for the other former Texas governor we had as president. George Bush said that he was going to use his political capital privatizing Social Security, and that went really, really badly. And we just saw what happened when Paul Ryan took it on. So I think Wade's right on.
Let's talk about another specific issue. Here's Mitt Romney talking to Tim Russert back in 2008. This is about an assault weapons ban. So we're waiting into one of these hot button issues, gun control. Let's listen.
The assault ban that expired here because Congress didn't act on it, you would support? Just as the president said, he would have signed that bill if it came to his desk, and so would have I. And yet I also was pleased to have the support of the NRA when I ran for governor.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Mitt Romney, while governor of Massachusetts, signed an assault weapons ban while governor of Massachusetts back in 2004. Here's Rick Perry's stance on gun control, a clip from earlier this month in an interview.
I'm actually for gun control. Use both hands.
So Wade, it sounds like Rick Perry is something of an absolutist when it comes to the Second Amendment, I gather.
Well, that's an old Texas bumper sticker. I'm for gun control. Use both
hands. New Hampshire,
hands.
Too.
In Texas, you can't be a politician, Democrat or Republican, if you're for gun control. Mm. So, this is in Southern Republicans' DNA. There's nothing surprising here, and it's an issue I think is a big winner, like death penalty is, with most Republicans.
Hmm. Craig, let's talk to both of you, but I want to start with you, Craig, about tonight's debate. It's in Florida, in Tampa. Can you set the scene for us down there? Florida emerging as a really important early battleground state, obviously with tons of voters down there. What's at stake? Set the stage for us.
Sure. Well, we were just talking about this in the newsroom before I came over here, but this sort of kicks off a flurry of appearances and visibilities and speeches for all the candidates in Florida. For whatever reason, this debate is the beginning of the. Sort of the validation of what's now becoming a canard that you must win Florida. Frankly, I guess that's true. CNN is certainly saying it right now, but that's because they're hosting the debate, so they want people to find out what goes on there. I think that it's absolutely. It's been strange to me how little so far attention has been paid to Florida, and I think it's been a little strange to people down here. But that's really about to change.
Mm. Wade Goodwin, what's at stake for Rick Perry from your perspective of this debate tonight?
I think he's just trying to keep the momentum going. This should be a friendly ground for him. I think the South is very much Rick Perry territory. And I think he's going to stick to his guns and try to increase his lead.
Hmm. I don't want to overstate this, but in Tallahassee, Mitt Romney is old news. I mean, remember, it didn't go especially well for him 4 years ago, and there was no Tea Party then. So it's this state, which was already very, very red, has shifted to the right, and I think people are excited about Perry, and I don't really. Think that's true around me.
Well, we'll tune in with interest tonight. Gentlemen, thank you both so much. That's Wade Goodwin, NPR correspondent, talking to us from Dallas. Wade, great to have you on Radio Boston. Thanks so much.
You're quite welcome.
Greg Sandler, talking to us from Tallahassee. He's general manager of the State House News Service right up here on Beacon Hill. Greg Sandler, great to have you. Thank you very, very much.
Always a pleasure, Anthony.
Coming up next, local farmers are growing everything from carrots to wheat, but it's hard for them to raise meat. We'll hear about a new and slightly gruesome way some farmers are processing their livestock. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.